of Mars, which could provide fresh clues as to whether it has ever sustained life. NASA's Perseverance rover has detected organic compounds in the red planet's Jezero crater, an ancient lake basin with high potential for past habitability. Similar ones were previously found in its Gale crater. And these molecules are associated with life and biological processes, though they can be created by non-biological processes as well. One of our regular contributors is David Moore of Astronomy Ireland. And David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
This is very interesting development indeed. These organic compounds contain predominantly carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and sulfur. But how significant is this development, David?
Well, we have to take a little bit of grain of salt in that there are ways of producing organic molecules without life. But there's a lot of evidence now coming back from Mars that there are organic compounds on the surface. And you can't rule out that they were created by life. Whether it's life that's there now, or whether it was there a long time ago, that's another question. And we can detect the individual atoms that are in these particular molecules, but to actually detect the compounds, we really need to bring the samples back. And the good news from the Perseverance rover is that whenever it finds an interesting sample, it pops it into a canister, drops it on the ground, and trundles on to the next site of interest. And there's a lander due to go to Mars that will bring it back to Earth. You can't send a world-class laboratory to Mars. It'd be too expensive. So you can bring the samples back and subject them to all the rigorous tests that we have here on the world's top laboratories. So it could be a few years before we find out these life produced molecules or geology produced molecules, but at least there's a chance.
The researchers say that the detection was encouraging and a fascinating glimpse into Mars' past, but in terms of getting the samples back to Earth, how long is that going to take?
So the mission itself has been subject to some delays. I've actually lost track of the exact year, and even if I could tell you it was 2025, I wouldn't believe it. There's always a chance of another delay. But there are to the surface to do the collection in the first place. So it's a huge international mission. Things like COVID didn't help either. So the engineers weren't able to collaborate and share bits and pieces that they were manufacturing, or even just get together for conferences that they have all the time to discuss the progress of these missions that cost, you know, in the billions.
One of the researchers was making the point that life on Earth is based on organic materials, and I'm quoting from him now because this is somewhat too complicated for me otherwise. He said, as such, the search for life elsewhere in the solar system is largely designed to search for similar organic materials. And he added, the fact that we have now identified organic materials at multiple locations across the surface of Mars is therefore very encouraging and provides a fascinating glimpse into the conditions on Mars billions of years in the past. What is he suggesting there? I mean, you're the expert here.
Well, there is a huge drive now to find the evidence for life in the universe. I mean, it's the ultimate question, are we alone? Even if we could just find microbes on other planets that weren't somehow put there by contamination from the Earth, we'd know that the chemistry keeps getting more and more complicated on other worlds until you produce self-replicating molecules like DNA, RNA, which are hugely complicated molecules. But, you know, in the 50s, Miller did the famous experiment where he stuffed what we thought was the Earth's early atmosphere into a flask and dropped it with ultraviolet radiation, electrical discharge, the kind of things that would have been in the Earth's atmosphere. And other people have repeated these experiments. And in a short period of time, you start to produce complicated molecules like amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins. And DNA is sort of a computer program factory that tells a cell how to produce proteins. And ultimately, you can build microbes. And if the microbes start to collaborate, you can these multi-celled organisms like plants that we think then lead on to animal life, us, in other words. But the first thing to prove you can produce microbes, they are horrendously complicated things compared to these simple organic molecules that we're creating. But the idea is, if Miller can do it in a few weeks, well, what can the Earth oceans do in, say, 100 million years, which is how long we think it took to produce the first life on the Earth? So we don't know the answer, but this is how we find out, by continuing these experiments. And looking for life on Mars is important. There are other places in the solar system looking like Mars. Some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, where we could also have organic molecules. And the question is, if you've got them in the right conditions and just add time, can you get life every time? But it's something special happen on the Earth.
You said earlier, David, that the detection of organic materials isn't definitive proof of life on Mars, that geological processes can also produce diverse organic compounds through entirely non-biological processes. But how do you distinguish between the two?
Yeah, well, when we look at the actual molecules, we don't know which molecules these are yet, and then look at, you know, the things like left-handed molecules, right-handed molecules, and life seems to prefer, if I remember correctly, the left-handed version, and that's, so geology wouldn't do that, but life would. So there are tricks like that that you can use, but we're going to have to wait till we get things back to the laboratory. And if you do find life-like molecules, again, it's still not definite proof until you find the actual organisms. So you need fossils of them. Or if, by some fluke, the life has managed to eke out a miserable existence since Mars turned into a desert, that was about 3 or 4 billion years ago, maybe the life is still there below the surface, and not in any great quantity that was able to evolve like it did on the Earth, where we kept our oceans. But, you know, if it were just microbes on Mars and we knew that they were formed on Mars from scratch, then we'd know we had two places in the one solar system where life began. And then all bets are off, because there are trillions of Earth-like planets in the universe. If it happened on two in the same solar system, you can be sure it's going to happen everywhere else. And then maybe somewhere it evolves into multi-cell life and you get animals and maybe one day intelligence. Or it could be, we had a talk about this just a couple of weeks ago, we had a monthly talk, and we asked the scientists involved, you know, because they're all looking for this life, but the big problem is, once you prove microbes can be made, bacteria, you know, you and I are basically made of those, about 40 trillion of our cells are dedicated microbes, all working together to make a human being, and, you know, it took 2 billion years from the first microbes being formed until they started to cooperate. Why did it take so long? Was it just a fluke? Should it not have happened this early in the universe? Nobody really knows the answer to that question. For me, that's the big question about life in the universe. I think we all agree, microbes, you should be able to form them everywhere in the universe, more or less. But to get multi-cell life and then to have it evolve into intelligent life, there seem to be so many difficult steps that life on the Earth took, like that multi-celled collaboration one after 2 billion years. But also look at the dinosaurs, the much bigger beings than us. They ruled the Earth for 160 million years, and they never invented computers, smartphones, or any kind of technology. Why did it take human beings to do that? You know, hundreds of millions of years after there were complicated and potentially intelligent life forms on the Earth. So there are big questions still in the search for certainly extraterrestrial intelligence. The first step, find the organic molecules. Second step, find the microbes. Third step, find the intelligent life.
And just a final thought on this, David. How important has have individuals like, say, Elon Musk and other multi-billionaires been in terms of the exploration that they seem fascinated by Mars?
Yeah, well, I mean, Elon Musk was a young kid, wherever he is now, who's interested in space, that did good, set up a computer company, went back to his space roots once he became a multi-millionaire and built his own space company, which is now launching giant rockets. And this is almost unbelievable what he's doing, but Jeff Bezos is at it as well. Again, a young kid interested in space, who did good and now has his own space company. Seems to be a trend there amongst the world's richest people. And Elon Musk, for instance, has just announced, you may have heard earlier this year, giant rocket blew up after a few minutes, which is more of a test run. He's not overly worried about that. But now he's got another one ready to go in the same year. I mean, when this is done by government bodies, we seem to find years or decades between massive projects like this. And he's building a 100-seater bus, basically, to take people to Mars. Because he and Jeff Bezos have said they're going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century, which is ridiculous. We haven't had one person on Mars. And if it wasn't the world's not only richest people, but also space company owners saying it, you'd think they were crackpots. So, you know, a lot of people think it can't be done, but they just seem to keep defying the naysayers. So I wish them luck, because as long as we do it ethically, you know, we don't want to go to Mars and live life there and destroy it and supplant it with Earth life. You know, should it be kept like Antarctica, a pristine wilderness that human beings don't ruin like we seem to do with everything else we touch? There's a lot of ethical issues in it. First thing is to have the technology to get to Mars, and he's still a ways off that.
And just in relation to people like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, is Mars the final frontier?
More or less, yeah. I mean, we just had the Chinese land on, sorry, not the Chinese, the Indians land on the South Pole of the Moon. And everyone is heading towards the South Pole because it's the best place for people to actually survive. There's water in the deep craters that never get sunlight, so all the resources are sitting there waiting for you. But, you know, a base on the Moon, there's no atmosphere, no weather, gravity's 1/6 of what it is on the Earth. It's nearby, that's the easy thing, but it's not conducive to life. You'd have to live underground all the time. On Mars, there is a bit of an atmosphere, and over a century, we could turn into an Earth-like atmosphere. And there's also water below the surface, we know, and Mars did use once to have oceans. The gravity's closer to just over a third of what it is on the Earth, and it has seasons like we do on the Earth. So it's a lot colder, but not as bad as the extremes you get on the Moon, and it looks like a better place to set up colonies than perhaps the Moon. I'm sure there'll be Moon colonies, and the next couple of years we're going to see people landing on the Moon again, and that's a stepping post stone to Mars. So in this century, it's certainly going to be exciting in terms of human exploration of space, if nothing else.
Before we finish, David, what can people look forward to in terms of events being hosted by Astronomy Ireland?
Yeah, well, we've got a big event coming up online. We are running our beginner's evening classes. Thousands of people across the country have taken them over the years that we've been running them. We designed a special course to take people who have a fascination with this. One of the classes is about life in the universe, so it'll explain it in more detail than I did. There's 8 classes every Tuesday night, starting October the 3rd, 2 hours each Tuesday. And at the end of that, you know, you'll go from having an interest in space to, you know, having a smattering of all the different aspects of exploring the universe. And it's aimed at kids and families. No science, maths involved. It's not a university course, but it is aimed to bring you up to speed on what we know about the sun, the moon, the planets, the Big Bang, black holes, and all the interesting things in the universe that you've heard about. So if people want to do that, go to astronomy.ie. You'll see the evening classes advertised there. You can also sign up for the magazine. Cost you €1 a week. We had lovely Aurora last week that we're putting pictures of into the next issue of the magazine. There's always loads happening. Eclipse of the Moon coming up next month. That'll be in the magazine that goes out in the post next week to everybody. There's a weekly email. So at least join Astronomy Ireland. There are thousands of us around the country. And do the evening class if you want to know more. Astronomy.ie.
Very good, David. We leave it there. Fascinating as always. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland. Many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this afternoon.